Okay, good morning everybody. Chodesh Tov. Thank you, Josh, for your introduction. I'd like to thank the sponsors for the Wednesday morning programming here in Bet Knesset Hanasi, which is dedicated for this year, Le'ilu Nishmois Daniel Ben David, and Limud Bat Avraham Strauss, and Mordechai Ben Moshe and Reziel Bat Yosef Meir Marcus, Zichron Livracha, who are the parents of Judy and Menachem Marcus. I'd like to thank very much our sponsors for the year, for my share, Le'ilu Nishmas Brana Bas Brandit, and Zelig Ben Talma, Zichron Livracha, and a specific for today, the shir is dedicated by Bob Dale, in memory of his father Shlomo Natan Ben Moshe, whose yahrzeit is Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is very timely. Because today, of course, is Rosh Chodesh Adar, Chodesh Tov. There is a discussion in the Gemara and Megillah as to how long before a Chag you should start discussing the laws of that Chag. Is it 30 days? Is it 2 weeks? Well, today is 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now, please God, will be Shushan Purim, and I'm sure you'll all be hopefully celebrating with your friends and family in Yerushalayim. I will be, please God, recovering from Purim the day before in Alon Shvut. But we are now on the cusp of Purim, and of course, it is my job to ease you gently into Pesach as well. Which brings us to the first source. Okay? Amar Rav Yehuda Brei D'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishmei D'Rav. So a very famous saying, K'shem Shemach Shekenichnas Shemishenichnas Av Mema'atim B'Simcha. Just like when Av comes in, says the Mishnah, we reduce Simcha. Kach, so too, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. We have a mitzvah to increase Simcha when Adar arrives. And this is a very important Rashi. Why? Why are we increasing Simcha, says Rashi? Yemei Nisim Hayu, because these we are entering days of miracles. Yemei Nisim Hayu li Israel. Purim v'Pesach. And it's important that our excitement on Rosh Chodesh Adar is not just because of the month of Adar, but because of the month of Adar and the month of Nisan, which of course is a month of Nisim as well, and for us in the modern world, the month of Iyar, which is also a month of Nisim as well. And it's important to remember that Adar is not the only celebration here. Adar is a celebration of Geula in the sense that we got the opportunity to finish off a lot of the anti-Semitic Persians of the time who were plotting against us, and please God, that will be an opportunity that we have to repeat at some point in the future. It should be b'mazal bracho b'soras tovus leklal Yisrael. But Nisan also was the month of Geula, not only Yitziat Mitzrayim, which of course everybody always talks about, but Kriyat Yam Suf, which people also talk about, but was also, of course, Nisan, and our entry with Yahshua into Eretz Israel, which was in Nisan, and the crossing of the Yarden, okay, which we celebrate in Hallel when we sing about the Yarden went backwards, was in Nisan, and the defeat and the miracle of the Battle of Yericho, which was in Nisan. So there are many, many things which we are focusing on over the coming months, and davening for repeated Nisim for the Jewish people. Now, I want to today focus on a specific issue. What's that?
Missiles from Iran last year.
Yes, the missiles from Iran last year were in Nisan, and I remember, and many of you will remember, that the Gulf War finished just before Purim in 1991. Do you remember that? I remember that very distinctly. Everybody it was Parshish B'Shalach. Everybody was focused on that. So it's very, very interesting times. Now, I want to suggest to you something about Purim, which is an important preparation for Pesach, in that the Geula of the Jewish people is dependent on the unity of the Jewish people. And the unity of the Jewish people is difficult to achieve. I've just spent 3 weeks running around the world and looking for students. Well, the world, not really the world. England, Canada and America. It's not the whole world, but it's a little bit. I did drive 1,900 miles, not kilometres, miles, around England, and then from Toronto I drove down to Philadelphia, step by step, stopping in different places to meet students. And one of the challenges along the way, not so much with the students who are usually in their own kind of slightly clueless world, but in the, with the families that I met, is the challenge of Jewish unity, where people were taking quite extreme stances on the issues of today, both extremely to one side and to the other side, and where people were becoming very, you know, very upset and annoyed and surprised and shocked at how other people are very extreme. So we need to bring this all together. We need to make sure we don't focus on the extremists who take the law into their own hands on any side of the debate, because they do not represent most people, clearly. And we need to work on unity. And I want to suggest to you about 7 or 8 ways in which celebrating the laws of Purim and the mitzvahs of Purim are focused specifically on this goal. The goal is to bring Jewish people together. Because unless Jewish people come together, the Jewish people as a whole cannot unite with God and have that sense of zivug and yichud, which is ultimately what brings the geula. And therefore, I want to focus on a few of these mitzvahs, which will ease us into Purim. Let's start with Mishloach Malos. Number 2. Says the Megillah, Ki yamim asher nachu bahem ayudim. Mi'oyveihem, these are the days, the 14th and the 15th, that the Jews rested from their enemies. The HaChodesh and the special month. That's why the Chodesh is flagged, because the Chodesh of Adar is pointed out, just like the Chodesh of Nisan in the Chumash, Chodesh Aviv, is pointed out. The HaChodesh aser nefach lehem miyagon simcha u'me'edah liyontif. Last I says some Yemei Mishteh, there's a mitzvah to have a celebration. Don't forget, a Mishteh means from the word shtia. A Mishteh is where the central focus of the meal is on drink, not food. That's why it's called a mishteh, not a suda. Okay, that's where it comes from. The simcha and happiness, umishloach monas ish l're'ehu, sending gifts, each person to their friend, umatanot le'evyonim, and giving gifts also to the poor. So let's focus on what that means. Now, a matana, I know what a matana is. It's I give something to someone else. But what is a mana? Mishloach manot. A mana usually means a portion of something. So let's have a look. Ask the Trumat HaDeshen. The Trumat HaDeshen, Rabbi Yisrael Isselin, living in the 15th century in Europe, in Vienna, I believe, or in Austria, around there. Sheila, Bnei Adam HaSholchim LeChavreihem B'Purim, Chalukim V'Sadinim U'Chia Gavna. People who want to send a gift on Purim have some nice bed linen, a couple of shirts, a nice pair of pants. You know, I'm thinking of you. Here's a nice gift for, you know, your bedroom, for your lounge, something. Can they do that on Purim? Yotzim yidei mishloach manos or love. Are they yotzim the mitzvah or not? Could be a very beautiful set of linen. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, Yira de'ein yotzim bahem. No, that's not, you're not yotzim. The niratam, because the reason the mishloach manos who kedeshi elochol echad deil vasavek lekayim hasuda kedina. The whole point is that we need to make sure people have enough food to eat the suda. We're worried. People are poor. People have very little. Baruch Hashem, we live in a world where not everybody has what they need, but a lot more people have access to basic provisions and food than used to back in the day. So we need to worry. Maybe the people down the road don't have what to eat for Purim Suda. So I'll give them food. Maybe they'll give me food. We'll give each other food. If I give them bed linen, what, they're going to chew on the bed linen? That's not going to help them for Suda's Purim. So he says, no, you're not Yotzeh Mishloach Manos, you have to give food. And we'll see in a minute, with the Shulchan Aruch, of course, paskens this way, that you have to give food, usually 2 items of food to a friend, etc. But the Manos Halevi, Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkametz, a very, very interesting person, who lived, of course, slightly, shortly after the Trumas HaDeshen. He was one of the great Mekubalim of the time. He was from a family which was exiled from Spain, and he was in Turkey. He was there at the famous Shavuos night, Tikkun Leil, where they were sitting there in Turkey, in Adrianople, I think, him and Rav Yosef Karo and a whole group of them, and all of a sudden the Maggid starts speaking out of Rav Yosef Karo's mouth, and everybody's looking around what's happening, and Rav Yosef Karo goes into this kind of trance, which he frequently had for many decades afterwards, and the Maggid, a voice, starts speaking out of his mouth, and what does it tell the group? It tells the group, you guys are doing great here in Turkey, but you need to make Aliyah, and you need to do it soon. Very important. And they were very shocked at this Shavuos night, phenomenon. And they did it the next night as well. They tried to bring back this Maggid, because of course second night Shavuos, they were in Turkey. They had another Tikkun Leil, and the same thing happened. He said, Dek, it's all very well, you're sitting here learning Torah, but make Aliyah. This was the Nefesh B'Nefesh Maggid, okay? You know, it's very... And Rav Shoma Halevi Akibetz did. He picked up and he went and he left. And Rav Yosef Karo was a little bit after him. But Rav Yosef Karo and him were very, very close all the way through their lives. We know, of course, Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkibetz for composing Lecha Dodi. But he wrote way, way, way more than that. Many, many, many works. He was the teacher of Rav Moshe Cordovero, who was one of the greatest Kabbalists of all time. So one of the things he wrote was a commentary on the Megillah, which I believe he wrote for his fiancée before they got married or something like that. I was going to check that before I came, but it was something like that. So look at what he says in number 4. Mishloach mamash ish l'reyehu. What does it mean, sending gifts? K'moy shahana inyanam, haya inyanam. Because this was their issue right then. Ke'ish echad. They had to unite everybody. Lahakel kol echad im chavero. They have to unite everybody with their other Jewish friends. Hafak, so they can do the opposite of what? Ish tsar v'oyev. The opposite of what Haman accused them of Lashon, and when he said, Rimiyah, when he trickily said, Ha'oimer am echad mefuzar. Mufuzar, the Jewish people are scattered. They are disunified. He says to Achashverosh, this is their weakness. And of course, what happens? Esther then turns around and says, Leich knois et ha-yudim, to bring them together. So says the Manas HaLeber, Shlomo HaLeber Alkibetz, the reason for Mishloach Manas is not to give people food. It's to show people that you care, to show people that you love them, to show people that you want to connect to them. So if you want to give them some beautiful bed linen, then matavu manayim, how lovely. You don't have to give them food, it's not for the Suda, it's to show that you appreciate them and they think of you. And by the way, I always try to make an effort, my Rebbeim will advise me of this, that when you give Mishloach Manas to whoever you give to on Purim, don't just give to your friends who you know all the time and you see all the time and they say, that's nice. Because they know that you like them because they're your friends. And don't just give them the candies that you just got from the last people that you're trying to shove up. You know, whatever. And so it's like when the music stops, whoever at the end of Purim is left with a bag of candies that they have to throw out with the Mechiras Chometz, you know, whatever. So always try, I was told, always try to find somebody that will feel a sense of surprise and warmth when they receive a gift from you. They never thought that you even knew they existed or that you cared. Somebody that'll be surprised and moved to know that you love them, because that is really what it's all about. It's about unity. And if you look here in number 5, the Gemara in Megillah, very, very interesting story. Rabbi Yehuda Nasir was the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, or the great grandson. He was a Nasi. He was a very rich man. He was the president of Israel, effectively. Shada Leila Rabbi Oshaya, he sent to Rabbi Oshaya, one of the Tanaim. Itma the Igla Talsa, he sent a leg of a very choice calf, very nice piece of meat. Vagar Badachamra, and a bottle of wine. Very nice, for Purim Mishloach Manas. Shalachle, and he got a note back from Rabbi Oshaya. Kiantabanu Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Matanus Le'evyoinim. Meaning, that's what you call a gift from the president of Israel? A shtickel flesh and a bottle of Bartanura? You know? Like, what? Okay, that's nice if the people down the road give me that. You're the president of Israel. You can't just give that to somebody and say, you know, that's enough. So he got the message. Hadar Shalachle, he sent back to him, Ehu, Igla salsa, an entire calf of meat, Vitalas garbi de chamra, and 3 bottles of wine. Shalachle, and then he got a note back from him, Oh, Kiamtabana Rabbeinu Mishlayach Manas Ishlariyehu. That's what I call shlachmanus. Okay? Meaning it has to make sense. It has to make an impression on the other person. A perfectly reasonable, normal-sized gift from a very wealthy person is less exciting than the same gift from a less wealthy person. And therefore, again, the Gemara is stressing the fact it's not just about giving something, it's the impression and the feeling that has on the person who receives it. That's very, very important. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, number 6, says the Shulchan Aruch, you have to send to your friend two portions of meat, two portions of something else, plural portions to your friend. Now he says meat, he says food, like the Trumas Hadesh. Two portions to one person. Okay, if you send to more friends, okay, good, you can give as many mishloach manas as you like. The im ein loin, if you don't have really any food, machlit im chaveiro, so you'll switch with your friends. Ze sholeach leze sudasoi, veze sholeach leze sudasoi. Kedei lekayin mushloach manois ish l'riyehu. Clearly, he passes like the Trumas Hadeshen, okay, even though the Trumas Hadeshen was Ashkenazi, and of course Rav Yosef Kari was Sephardi, he often passes like the Trumas Hadeshen, and he says it has to be food, because really it's for the Suda. Comes along the Ramah, the Ashkenazi, and Paskins like Rav Alkabetz, the Sephardi. Okay, let's have a look. The Yesh Mishloach Manis beyond the Lobalila. Okay, that's a different point. You should give Mishloach Manis by day. All the mitzvahs of Purim, main mitzvahs are by day. The Im Sholeach Manis L'Riehu. What if you send to your friend, for who Eino Ratzel L'Kablam? And he says, no, it's fine, thank you, I really appreciate it, I don't want to receive it. Or Moichel Lo, or he says, I Moichel you, don't yet, Yatsa. That's good. Meaning, if you send to somebody and they say, oh, very sweet of you, thank you, I have enough, and send it back, that's good enough. Why? Because he paskens like the Manas HaLevi, that what matters, it's the thought that counts. It's not that they have what to eat. They have what to eat, probably lots to eat. But they need to know that you're thinking about them. That makes the unity. The unity is made by the offer. He doesn't need to accept the gift. He knows that you made the offer. As long as it's not going to insult the other guy by sending it back. It's done in a nice way. So that's the point here. The Ramah is passing that it's not really the focus on the food. The focus is on the reyes. The focus is on the friendship that it creates between them. And if you consider the following question, what about if you want to give anonymously? Here is your mishloach manas from a secret admirer. Okay? It doesn't really do the trick. It has to connect two people together, ba'achdus. Look at the following shayla, number 7. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, what if you ran out of the house and you were busy and you were, you got a train out of town and you'd forgotten to give mishloach manas? And it was, you just hadn't separated anything, just completely went out of your mind. Can your family, when they realize that you forgot to give Mishloach Manas, say, oh, your Abba forgot to give Mishloach Manas, let's send something down the road to his friend? Can they do that? Says the Aruch HaShulchan. The Einamoyl, it doesn't work. Mashe bebeso notnim bishviloi. If someone gives from your family on your behalf, that doesn't work. The Eshadum matanis le'evyonim yatsa. It works maybe for tzedakah, for Matanis Le'evyonim. Because at the end of the day, Matanis Le'evyonim is for a different reason. We'll see, Matanis Le'evyonim, we'll see right now, is so that the poor people feel appreciated, that they haven't been forgotten about. They don't care so much who gave the $20 that they got. They don't care really. They care they've got the money. They've got what to use for Pesach food. But with Mishloach Manas, it's not right. Aval b'Mishloach Manas, Shaloi b'Fanav, if it's not personal, Vaday d'Lav Klum Hu. It's nothing. What they got a gift from you? You didn't even know you gave it. You'd forgotten to give it. So it doesn't do anything. Okay, it's half. They think that you like them, but you don't really because you forgot all about them. So it only works if you gave it and they know you gave it. Maybe they don't want to receive it, that's fine, but you have to make reyes between the people. And therefore, Mishloach Manas is designed specifically to create this sense of friendship, of unity, of love between Jews and other Jews, and therefore it has to achieve. Okay, that's Mishloach Manas. What about Matanos Le'Evyonim? Says the Rambam. Mutav la'adam laharbois v'matanos le'evyonim in Hilchas Purim. It's better to give more money for matanos le'evyonim melaharbos besudaso yishloach manos le'reiav. It's better that you should spend more money on the poor than spend on the suda, because, you know, you don't need more food. You've probably eaten plenty in the last few weeks for most people. And to give to your friend. Again, giving to your friend, it just has to make the impression. It just has to create the bond. It doesn't have to be valuable. I mean, we saw with Rabbi Yehuda the Seer, if you're a very rich person and you give something which is not valuable, then it doesn't make the impression. But the point is, you have to give the money to the Tanis Levione. Because the poor, they don't care so much about the sentiment. They need the cash. Okay? She'ein sham simcha gedoyla mufara. There's no better simcha. There's no more beautiful simcha. Ela l'sameach leiv aniyim. To make people happy. But who? Aniyim. Not just the poor. Yisoyimim. People who are missing their family. Va'almonas. And people who are thinking of their loved ones who are no longer with them on a holiday that they remember. The geirim. And geirim, people who don't have family. Remember the Sefer HaChinuch says geirim in the mitzvah of loving geirim doesn't just mean converts, technical converts. Of course it does still mean them, because they have no family. Everybody's going to their cousins and their brothers-in-law and their sisters-in-law. And Nebuch, all their family is non-Jewish. But it also means strangers, balei tshuva, people who come to town, people from out of town, people who don't have a network, and who are sitting thinking everybody's having fun, but we don't really know anybody. That's the people. They're the people you need to focus on. Why? Sheham asameach leiv ha'umlalim. Umlalim. What's umlalim? He uses the word umlalim. People who are down, unfortunate people. People who are a bit depressed. It's psychological umlalim. Humlalim ha'elu, doyma l'shchina, then you'll like the shchina sh'ne'ema, v'shoichein ad v'kadosh shemo, okay? L'achayot ruach shvalim, God supports the spirit of the lowly, v'alachios leiv nidka'im, and those who are depressed, b'dika'on, God supports those. And therefore, the central feature of Matanos Le'evyonim is to make those people feel that, not just that you like them, they don't need to know who it comes from, but that somebody's thinking about them. That they haven't been forgotten about, that they're appreciated. I brought you in Hilchas Yomtev, this very Harif Rambam in number 9, Keshu Oichel V'Shoseh, when you're eating and drinking on Chag, Chayv L'Ha'achil, you also have to give food, L'Ger, L'Yatam, U'L'Almana, Im Shar Ha'anim V'Umlalim, here they are again, people who are poor, people who are down. Someone who shuts the doors of their courtyard, of their front gate. The oichel v'shoyse, and they eat and they drink. Who banav the ishtoi, the family and the children. That's beautiful. But the einu machilu mashkel aniim, and he doesn't give food to the aniim. Ulemare nefesh. Again, he always focused on the psychology. Lemare nefesh, people who are down and bitter. Ein los simchas mitzvah ela simchas kreso. That's not simcha of mitzvah, that's a simcha of your belly. You like drinking wine on Chag because you like wine. Not because of simcha sachag, because that would be giving wine to other people. The simcha kazar and the simcha of feeding your own belly, kaloin hi lahem. It's just a disgrace. It's just a, you know, nebuch. So one has to think very carefully of this. I brought Rav Dessler here, number 10. That which a person gives to another is never lost. It is an extension of his own being. He can see a part of himself in the fellow man to whom he is given. This is the attachment between one man and his fellow, to which we give the name love. I know a young fellow who was learning in yeshiva, Bal Tshuva, many years ago. He had a lot of money. He gave a lot of tzedakah, and he lost all his money in financial ruin. And he said, the only money which I still have is the money which I gave to tzedakah. That's the money I still have. The rest is lost. So the feeling that what he'd given was very much part of him. So that's Matanos Le'evyonim. We obviously have to focus on that as well. Okay, to make this sense of the poor and the needy feel very much part of, appreciated and part of Klal Yisrael. Tanis Esther. Now, what's with Tanis Esther? Coming up very soon. So, of course, we know, number 11, we saw this before. V'yomer Haman l'melech Achashverosh, Yeshno am echad mufuzar mufurad bein ha'amir. There's a scattered people sleeping, like Yeshno, that is, if they're asleep, obviously it means there is, but like Chazal play, that's like they're asleep, they're sleepwalking through life. To which Esther said, Leik noses kol ha'yudim hadim tzayim b'shushan, bring together all the people, v'tzumu alai, make it som. Now this psalm, of course, was not in Adar, this was in Nisan. Another reason why Nisan, Chol HaMoed. Another reason was Chol HaMoed, because she went to Achashverosh on Seder night. But they did it for 3 days. It included, yeah, included Yom Tov as well, correct. So the point here is as follows. Have a look in Chazal, number 13, page 3. Leik Knoset Kol HaYehudim, gather together all of the Jews. V'tsumu alayim. What is the purpose here? Mikan, from here you learn, says the Midrash. She'ikro shal tsom ba'asifa. The main purpose of a tsom, of a fast, is, and the asifa, is bringing the people together. Knoset Kol HaYehudim. It's the unity of the people. V'chein hu oimer, and so it says, Kadshu tsom, says you will get together a tsom, a fast. Kiru atzara, and call a stop to all the work. Isfu zakenim, and gather everybody together. And of course, you have to do this across the community. You can't just call an asifa and an atzeres for your people, and everybody else is left out, and say it's an act of unity for Klal Yisrael. We tend to do that a little bit these days in this country. We call an asifa, but it's only for v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. You love the people who are just like you. That's the joke that they make about v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. People who are like me, that's the unity of Klal Yisrael. But all the people, it's the people who are not there. You know, that's the problem. It has to be everybody together in order to be an asifa. Look in number 14. Amar Rebbe Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rebbe Shimon Chasida, Kol Tanis She'ein Bo Miposhe Yisrael, any Tanis which doesn't have the sinners with them, ain't a Tanis, that's not a Tanis. Shehari Chelbana. Because look at the Chelbana, Recha Rai had a terrible stink, this terrible smelling odor. Umana Hakosav in Samamani Katoris, but it's part of the Katoris, meaning on its own, it stinks, it's terrible. But together with the Katoris, it makes the Katoris, and without it, the Katoris is not valid. Okay, so you can decide based on your community which of the people you think are the stinkers. You know, the Poshe Yisrael. Okay, but these people think that those guys are the Poshe Yisrael, and those people think that these guys are the Poshe. I don't care who you think the Poshe Yisrael are. You know, Lakan Ulakan. They've all got to be there. Everybody's got to be there. And that's the old-fashioned, the idea. Tzibur means tzadikim, beinonim, urshaim. It has to be all the people there. Rav Soloveitchik said the word som is from the word sama. Sama is a braid. Yeah? In modern Hebrew, a tzomet. A tzomet is an intersection where the roads all come together like this. That's because it braids together individual pieces into one unit. Says that's why tzom is called a tzom, because it is an interweaving of different parts of Klal Yisrael in a way that they don't normally get together, and they have to get together for the tzom. So the purpose of Tanis Esther is unity. It's not a sad fast. Tanis Esther is not. There's nothing unhappy about Tanis Esther. It's not Zechel Churban. It's not about the Beis Hamikdash. It's a happy fast. It's a play music and dance around the street fast. But it has to be a Tanis or a Tzom in which we somehow reach out to other people in the Jewish people who we don't normally reach out to and bring the Jewish people together. That is Tanis Esther. Look at Sudas Purim. Okay, we all know what Sudas Purim is. You sit, you eat, you drink, and you do shtick. Okay, no, it's more than that. Number 15. The Hayamim Ha'elan is Karim Anasim. These days, says the Megillah, will be remembered, will be performed and remembered. B'chol dor v'ador, for all eternity, mishpacha u'mishpacha. All the families will be gathered together. Medina u'medina, v'ir ir. V'yemei ha'purim ha'ele lo yavru mitoicha yudin. These days, the Purim will never leave the Jewish people. V'zichram lo yasuf mizaram. And their generators, their children, their descendants will never forget them. What does mishpacha, mishpacha mean? Why does it add mishpacha, mishpacha? So look at Rashi, number 16. Mishpacha, mishpacha. Mid'asvim yachad. We gather together. V'oichlim v'shoisim yachad. Again, yachad, yachad. You can sing Yachad Yachad later, okay? The Kach Kiblu Aleihem. That's what they accepted on themselves. Shemei Purim Lo Ya'avru. It's not just that they remembered, they accepted, they'll never forget Amalek, and they'll always drink wine. But they'll always be Yachad, and they'll always gather Yachad. Mishpacha, Mishpacha, Medina, Medina, Ir, Ir. And therefore the stress that Rashi puts on the Mishpacha, Mishpacha is the unity, bringing people together at the table who don't normally eat together or be together. That's very important. Megillas Esther. What's the purpose of Megillas Esther? So, Pirsum in Nisa. But have a look, number 17. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Megillah the Yud Dalet of Tesvav, when you read the Megillah on the 14th and the 15th, Tzarich Lachzor Achasara. You should try and find 10 people. Meaning, you don't need 10 people. It's not Leining, it's not Kriyas HaTorah, it's not a Dava Shebek Kedusha that needs a minion. You can read Megillah on your own if you have a klaf and you know what you're doing and you have someone to help you read it, you can read it on your own. But you should try for a minion, says the Mishnah Berurah 18. Lachzor Achasara. Or I should try for 10, not a minion. The in be'esahu, if at that time you have an opportunity, kairin osa b'tzibur, b'beit ha'kneset, if they're reading it down the road in the shul, but you want to make a Megillah reading in your house, private Megillah reading, afilu yesh lo kuf anashim b'beiso, even if you have 100 people in your private home, you shouldn't do that. Mitzvah leilech l'sham, take people to shul. Mishum b'roiv am hadras melech. Because when you get people, the Jewish people together, that gives more honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for reasons we'll see very soon. V'chein mishahaya beso somach lebeis haKnesses. Let's say your house is right next to the shul. V'chalo noisach pechusas lebeis haKnesses. And you can open your window and you can hear them. Like, I don't even need to go to shul. I'll just sit on my armchair and open the window and I'll hear them reading Megillah. And they have in mind to be Motzi me, and they have in mind to be Yotzi to them, and Shalom al Yisrael. No, that's not right. Afilu hachi, nevertheless, tzarech leilech lebeis haKnesses. You're going to get out of your chair, out of your house, go to shul, kula alma, everyone agrees with this. Mishum b'roivam, because of roivam hadras melech. And it's not about a minion. Have a look in number 19. 19 is a Mishnah Berurah about Birkas HaGoimel. Let's say someone needs to make HaGoimel because they've been in a dangerous situation or they want to give thanks. So you should get together 10 people to make HaGoimel, because of Pirsumei Nisa. So look what he says. V'gam nashim, what about women and HaGoimel? Minag ha'olam she'ein mevarachim bracha zo. The minag is that women don't normally make this bracha in the same way that men do. And that's, I think, was true and still is when men come back from journeys on airplanes or whatever. They sometimes make hagomel, depending on who you follow. Women don't do that. Women do it in certain situations. They give birth or they've been in a dangerous situation. I used to always be somebody who made hagomel coming back from an airplane journey. But then I went to live in Alan Shvud, and they're all kind of raising their eyebrows because they follow a psak that, like, plane travel these days is, like, it's not perfectly safe, but it's not something which is in the same... It's safer than driving on the roads, and if you don't bench gomel when you go from Yerushalayim to the Gush Etzion, then... So, but I say, you know something, I bench gomel, it's okay, leave me alone. And everyone used to go, okay, whatever. In the last 2 years, all the guys who were benching gomel were 21-year-old guys who've just done 3 months in Gaza, like facing Hamas. So they're going to bench, and everyone's like, Shkayach, Mishu, Gimal, Chalkal, so I'm going to stand up and bench gomel because I came on Delta from Europe. I completely felt like a total fraud. Standing up a bench in Gomel. So I don't bench Gomel anymore. Okay, I follow a different sector. So, but I, you know, but nevertheless, one should bench Gomel in certain situations that are posting the same for planes. But look here, for women. The Kasko Achronim, the reason that the women or men would bench Gomel, Hatam Mishum de Seder Brachazo, the reason women are less likely to do it, says the Mishnah Berurah, Umibnei Asara, is it should be in front of a group. And women sometimes feel uncomfortable gathering groups of men to start saying Hagaymel or standing up in shul. That's why he thinks it's not done. He doesn't say it's osa. He said it's not done because women don't feel comfortable. But there are those that write, Mikol Makam Nachamu, the Tikbarach Mifrei Asara. But she should get a bunch of 10. Al Kompon Mifnei Nashim. Why do you have to get 10 men? Let her, if she feels uncomfortable with 10 men, let her bring 10 women and bench gomel. The ishechad and one man, and there's a whole debate as to why you need one man. Does it mean it should be 10 women and a man, or 10 women or a man? But let's leave the man out of it for now. And I brought you on the top of page 4 an analysis of the Shalmei Toda with the Hilchas Purim, And he says as follows, but Sarah Nashim Hakorin La Atzman, if 10 women want to read Megillah reading for each other, for a women's Megillah reading, that's not considered inappropriate. That's not the same as you might argue that a women's laning or about a Kriyas HaTorah, which we had all those class with all those discussions on. He says it's not the same thing at all. The This is why, the reason why is because it's there's no relevance to Dava Shebek Dusha Basara. It's not because you need a minion. Basara Anashim. Hainu Shum de Kol Ikadin Asara Bamagila Ainze Elamishum Pirsuminisa. It's nothing to do with the minion. The reason you're reading the Megillah and trying to get 10 people is to spread the good news. Spread, you know, excite people, get people into Purim, that they love Purim, that they understand Purim, that they're grateful on Purim. Ikaname ba'asar anashim. Why do you need 10 men for that? You could get 10 women for that. It's nothing to do with a minion. And many poskim will rule that 10 women can certainly have a Megillah reading and can make the bracha afterwards. Haravish rivenu vazdanis dinenu. Without a bracha, it says, oh, you can only say this bracha in a minyan. No, you can, this is not a davar shebe kedusha. You can only say this bracha if there's pisumi nisa with 10 people. So 10 men, 10 women, what difference does it make? So there is a very interesting discussion about that. Again, about the idea of making Jews happy just because they know it's Purim. And it's very interesting. Many, many years ago, we were living in London. And my wife went down the road on Purim morning to give a shlach manas to an Israeli woman that we didn't really know. We passed in the street, whatever, a non-observant Israeli woman, and she went to deliver shlach manas, which is very nice, because exactly like I said, you know, find people that did. So she knocks on the door, and the woman opened the door. My wife was there, I don't know, dressed as a banana or something like that. It was very, 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 very unusual, okay. Actually, my son was born a week after Purim, and that year she went as a pregnant nun. I'm not sure that's necessarily the best costume, but we were young and foolish back in those days. The woman said, like, hello. My wife said, hi, I've come to bring you a gift. She said, why? She goes, it's Purim. So the woman starts crying. She goes, it's Purim? I didn't know it was Purim. How was I meant to know it was Purim? She's not observant. She's not part of a community. She doesn't have the rhythm of a kehillah. In Israel, she knew when Purim was because on the radio, on the television, the Purim Magia, Purim Magia. She starts crying. She goes, I love Purim. I would have got my children dressed up. It's a very interesting case study in what often happens to secular Israelis when they come to Chutz La'aretz. Either they become Balei Tshuva and they join a Kehillah, which they never felt the need to do in Israel, or they just drift away and they assimilate and they become part of the general population, which is very interesting. Because again, Pirsumi Nisa means the bringing Jews together, making sure everybody knows, men, women, that it is Purim and what Purim means. Okay, the last couple of ideas. Purim and Kabbalah HaTorah. Again, a very important unity idea. Number 21. Says the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. Now you'll know immediately, you'll see immediately from the wording, Kiblu is a Greek tiv. It's written Kibel in the singular, but it's pronounced Kiblu in the plural. That they established and they accepted. Hayudim aleihem et vazram, it's kol anilvim aleihem, etc., etc. So the Gemara in number 22, Gemara in Shabbos, talking about Matan Torah, says, V'yitzvu betachtis hahar. That they, this was just a couple of weeks ago in the parasha, that they gathered at the bottom of the mountain. Amar Rabbi Avdimi, Amar Rabbi Avdimi, Bar Chama Rabbi Bar Chasa, Melamed Shekafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Esahar Kegigis. That Hashem held the mountain over their heads, Ki'ilu, Tachtis Ahar could be translated as underneath the mountain. It obviously Pshat means by the bottom of the mountain. But Amar Lehem, and it says, and he said to them, Im Atem Makablim HaTorah. If you accept the Torah, mutav, then it will go well for you. Ve'im lav, and if not, sham tehei kfuraschem. Not that you'll die here. You'll die there. Sham tehei kfuraschem. If you don't accept the Torah and you march into Israel and we're living as a secular people, ain't going to work for you. You're just going to assimilate. You're not going to be tzaddikim. You're not going to have connection. You're not going to pass it on to your children. So you choose. If you're going to accept the Torah, that's going to be your success. So good. So they were slightly coerced. As it were, the mountain was above them. Midrashically, you know, how could they say no? They've just been through the Ten Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf. Well, you're going to, that's a choice. That's not a choice. Who's going to say no? So Afal Pikein, so too, nevertheless, Hadur kibla kiblua b'yimeh Achashverosh. They re-accepted it willingly at the time of Achashverosh. Dichsev kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, kimu ma shekiblu kvar. They re-accepted it. They re-accepted what they had previously accepted. But the whole point is, it's the singular. Kimu v'kiblu, and you would miss that if you weren't looking at the pasuk. Because look at 23, in the lead up to Matan Torah, you have v'yis'u, plural, mirafidim, v'yavo'u, plural, midbar Sinai, v'yachanu, plural, and they camped by midbar, v'yichan, singular, sham Yisrael neged ahar, singular, the Jewish people singularly camped. Okay? And Rashi says, v'yichan sham Yisrael, ke'ish echad, Belev Echad. That's the point. So when you read Kimu v'Kiblu, immediately in your mind you're meant to think, ah, Kiblu is pronounced plural and is written singular, just like Vayichan is singular and not plural. The Jewish people were together. They, as one person, as it were, they camped at the Har Sinai, and they repeated that unity on Purim. And we've given Shirim in the past here, and not here, but back in the other place, on the idea of Purim as a new Kabbalah Satorah, as the oral law of the Jewish people accepting the responsibility of actually getting into the interpretation of the Torah and deriving it in their own way. That's why Purim is the end of prophecy. We had a whole shir about this. Rav Tzadok HaKohen talks a lot about this. Esther was the end of prophecy. She was the last of the prophets. Okay, Hanukkah already, there was no Nevi'im. Because after Esther, the Jewish people stepped up and said, okay, you know something, end of prophecy, we're ready to accept it now. We're ready to do Torah Sheba'al Peh. Rav Tzadok HaKohen says that when God originally offered the Jewish people the Torah, he said to them, okay, it's a package deal. There's Torah Shebichtav, which I'm doing for you, and there's Torah Sheba'al Peh, which you've got to do for yourselves. And the Jewish people pushed against that. Nah, I don't want to, it's hard work, and I don't like it. It's an interesting question. You know, they accept Naseh V'Nishma. Tosfos says Naseh V'Nishma, they accepted so willingly, so why did they have to be forced? Did the two Midrashim go together? We always quote them both, but don't realize they contradict each other. This says that they accepted only under coercion, and Naseh V'Nishma is they were so willing. So Tosfos said, it's obvious. Naseh V'Nishma was on Torah Shebichtav. Chumash will take. Yeah, I can finish Chumash in, like, you know, it's not so hard. Gemara? You want me to learn Daf Yomi? You want me to learn Gemara and Midrash? And I can't do that. I'm not doing that. So God's constantly telling them, you know, no, you've got to accept it. And in the end, they say no. So Hashem says, okay, you know something, have it your way. I'm going to send you the Nevi'im. You want to be spoon-fed? I'll spoon-feed you. So he says to them, Shmuel and Eliyahu, is it like, you know, you're getting more, you shouldn't be needing this. You should be able to do this for yourself. Eventually, when Nevi'im stopped, when the last Nevi'im, Esther and Haggai Haggai, Zechariah and Malachi. Thank you. I had a brain freeze there. And Malachi, the last Nevuah, which is the sign off of a prophecy. So then you end up with Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh starts already from the moments of Purim that they're actually willing to do it for themselves. I mentioned before, Purim and Hanukkah are the celebrations of Torah Sheba'al Peh, because Purim is focused on wine, Hanukkah is focused on oil, and wine and oil are the only fruits that where we process them as human beings, we upgrade them in spirituality, not downgrade them. If you take an orange is a beautiful creation, it's bravery heights. If you squeeze it and squish it to pieces, okay, sha'akol. I mean, that's not what God created, orange juice. But grapes, a grape is bravery heights, but you squeeze it and process it, upgrades. Bravery agafe. How did you upgrade it? Because that represents Torah Sheba'al Peh. The human input in interpretation increases Kedusha. Olives is interesting. The Gemara discusses in brachas. What bracha would you make on olive oil if you drank it just as a drink? It's a bit bitter, but you mixed it with something and drank it as a drink. So it says, well, really you should make brapery hazayit. Because like wine, it's olive, it represents an upgrade. But you can't say brapery hazayit. Because the word zayit is unclear. Because zayit is the word for the tree. And a zayit is a word for the fruit. Whereas with grapes, the tree's called a gefen, and the grape's called an avim, or whatever. And therefore you don't have the unclarity. So in the end we make brei pri ha'etz on olives, but not she'akol, on olive oil rather, but not she'akol. We still make brei pri ha'etz. So usually you don't make a bracha on olive oil because you put it on your salad and it's like just a teufel, or you drink it because of your throat, whatever. But the point here is that Purim is this acceptance, which has to come from unity, just like Sinai came from unity. Let's finish off with a few thoughts on the mirroring of the unity of Am Yisrael in order to connect us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's note 25. Shuv Maseh B'Nochri Echad. There's a story of a Nochri, of a non-Jew, Sheba Lifnei Shammai. He comes to Shammai. Amalei, he says to him, Geirani Amanash Tzalamdeni Kol HaTorah Kula K'Shani Omed HaRegelach. Teach me the whole Torah and convert me, but teach me the Torah while I'm standing on one leg. Okay, the guy's a nudnik. This whole Daf Gemara is a Gemara of different stories of Nudnikim that come to Hillel and Shammai, and Hillel never ever loses his patience. All the stories there, they came on Erev Shabbos when Hillel was in the shower, and they scream, "Is Hillel home? Is Hillel home?" And he comes with a towel on his head, like, what was an emergency? And they're asking him silly questions, why do Babylonians have square heads? You know, and he won't lose his patience. One of them even bets with the other one on the Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara there, that I bet you like $200 that I'll get him to lose his patience. And the guy gets angry with Hillel, "I've lost $200 because of you." And he said, "Better you should lose your money, but I should not lose my patience." Hillel, therefore, was always patient. Shammai is a different story. Shammai is very nice. I mean, he's a smiley person. Remember, Shammai is the one that says in Pirkei Avos, always smile at other people before they smile at you. Like, you're never fully dressed without a smile. That's basically Pirkei Avos. So, but you can't ask him silly questions. You can't be a nudnik. You know, there are certain professors or rabbonim, they're very nice people, but you know, you don't ask silly questions because you'll get a sharp response, okay? So Shammai says, "Get out of here." Okay, says the Gemara here, "Dachfoy," he pushed him out. Ba'amas ha-ben yishev yada, with his building ruler. Now, why is Shammai holding a building ruler? Is he a builder? Maybe it's because he's kind of midrashically saying, you don't measure up. There's millions and millions and millions of books to read. I'm going to do this in 25 seconds. So Balifnei Hillel, he comes to Hillel. Geri! Of course he converts him. He's always got... Hillel accepts everybody. That, by the way, is the reason why every student house on campus is called Hillel. Not Shammai. I'm serious. It's so that every weird nudnik student can go there and feel that they have a safe space and they'll be with friends and they'll be accepted. It's mamash this, it's this reason. So, but what did he say to him? The Amaloi, and he says to him, okay, here's the Torah in 20 seconds. Da'alach sani, whatever you don't like, l'chavreich lo tavi. Don't do to other people. Zohi kol Torah, that is the whole Torah. The whole Torah is about not mistreating other people. Zohi kol Torah kula. Idach perushahu, the rest is a small print, it's a little Gemara, go and learn it. Meaning you have to do all the God stuff and all the Shabbat stuff and all the rest of it, all the ritual stuff. Very important. But the core of the Torah is the way you treat other people. If you're not someone who is considerate and kind to other people, you cannot make any claim to be a religiously authentic person. You can walk the walk, you can talk the talk, but you can't be the real thing. So again, the unity of the Jewish people, of people generally, is absolutely fundamental to their connection to God. The God stuff will come, but the unity has to go first. That's what he says to him. Look at the basic pasuk, number 26, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha ani Hashem. What could be clearer than V'ahavta l'recha kamocha? You have to have ahava for other people. Look at what the Midrash says, number 27. Mi zera'echa. Who is your friend? It's Hashem, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha means you have to develop love for God, Shneema, re'echa v're'a avicha in Mishlei. God is your friend and the friend of your fathers. So what does that mean? It means that through doing the mitzvah, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, with other people, you will do v'ahavta l'recha kamocha vertically with Hashem. It has to come that way, and with other people has to come first, and then that will be the love that is developed between us and the Jewish people. I brought you this beautiful Rabbeinu Bachya. This week's parsha, coming up right now, the making of the Mishkan, number 28. Avasoli Yisrael, the love of God for the Jewish people, ka'avas ha'av lebanon, is like the love of a father for their child. She'ava chazaka. How strong is this? But that's not the image that we create in the Mikdash. Aval rasa la'asois moshel b'dveikus gufani. We needed to represent this love in a stronger way than just our father and a child. She'ein l'malem imen. We wanted to represent the greatest love there is. She'iyesha b'ensai, which is, can have no intermediary. A parent's love for their children can be done through an intermediary. They can send them something, etc. But not a love of a man and a woman. For who yoteh chazak k'shehu minurim. It's when of young people, young men and women, when they have this enormous, this incredible passionate love for each other. It says, love the wife of your youth, that passionate love. The kol zeh kedei sheneidav anaskil, we have to know therefore, shedveikusoy yitaleh imanu, God's love for us, dveikut gadol, is such an enormous, for chazak, the loshum emtei, with no intermediary. He's talking about the kruvin. The kruvin are two young people, a man and a woman, embracing each other. That's the image of God's love for the Jewish people. With the rest of the nations of the world. God loves them. God loves the non-Jewish nations as well. But there's a system. They don't have the same hashgacha pratit. There's a system of cause and effect. The God loves the whole world. But they don't have a direct relationship. When he wants to tell him the Torah about his love for us. He has to give you this moshel of the kruvim. That is the connection that we have with God. And of course, this is a whole different shir, but this is the we make that creation through learning Torah as well. The kruvim are the entryway to the Eitz HaChayim, just like in Gan Eden, that the kruvim are stationed outside the Garden of Eden to show us the way home, show us the way back to the Torah with this rotating metal sword, which the Netziv says every now and then we get a little glimpse of Gan Eden as a reflection in this metal going round. That's how we can see inside Gan Eden. So too, the Kruvim are there to announce the way to the Torah. They're on top of the Torah, but it's represented with incredible, incredible love. And therefore, the love of the Jewish people and God is created through their love for each other. Look in number 29. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, G'doy l'hachnasas orchim mehakbalas pnei shechina. That hachnasas orchim, just giving a shtickle herring to another person, is even greater than communing with the Almighty. Dichsiva Yomer, Avram says to God, Adonai na matzasi chen be'necha anata vomel avdecha. And all the mafreshim ask, how can Avram just leave this incredible prophecy, this intimate moment of connection with God, to go and serve dinner? Just wait here, God, and I'll be back when I've served dinner. And Rav Berkowitz told us, I remember in Kohelet, says that the connection with a human being is an even stronger connection with God. It's not that I'm breaking off. They're at Tzelem Elokim. I can have a much more real bond with God through bonding with the Tzelem Elokim in another person than I can from having this unbelievable, transcendental experience, which is great, but how bonding can it be? People, you can bond with people and you can see the Tzelem Elokim, and that's why Avram is not breaking off from God. Avram is saying, I can connect with God even more intensely if I go and treat these people with food. Look at number 30. Hani tfilin demare alma, the tfilin of God, meaning not that obviously God has tfilin, but if God were to wear tfilin, as it were, what would be written in these tfilin? Maksiv bahu. Well, what's written in our tfilin? In our tefillin, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The oneness of God. What's written in his tefillin? U'mika amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Our tefillin represent the oneness of God. God's tefillin, as it were, if they were tefillin, would represent the oneness of the Jewish people. Because at the end of the day, they're all connected. If you look in number 31, Kud Shebrichu, the Oraita of Yisrael Chadhu, the Zohar says, that at the end of the day, the neshamas of the Jewish people, the spirit, the neshama of the Torah, and the essence of God Himself, are all connected in a deep and unbreakable way. And therefore, I leave you with those thoughts on Purim. That really, the focus of Purim is to unite in very specific ways, giving gifts to other people that show your love for them, giving gifts to the poor, getting family together for Suda, etc. And together we will create the unity, please God, that will take us into Pesach and lead to a Geula Shleima for the Jewish people.